you're not believing, go ahead, shift gears, get in faith, get in a place of expectation, because expectation brings a manifestation, you know, whether it's in a service or whatever. But anyways, we lived on what they called Tornado Alley. I lived on Tornado Alley. It wasn't Tornado Alley. It's just, it seemed like it was between two ridges. And it seemed like every fall, every spring especially, that, I mean, it's like tornadoes come right through that alley. And so, anyways, I'm about 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever. And so my brother-in-laws, and some of them was over at our house, I guess for the weather or whatever. And so this tornado came. And this tornado came, and they're holding the door shut. The rugs were pulled up off of the floors. You know, you could hear and feel the house was about to leave. You know, it took a big truck shop down. It took and threw people. It took them out of the trailers and threw them through fences, our neighbors, and different things, you know. And from that time up till I got born again, or a little after I got born again, I mean, when I would hear anything about bad weather, you know, my sideburns would begin to burn of fear. You know, I didn't know that it was fear. I really didn't, you know. I just, you know, and so that was so ingrained. I mean, to when it was going to get rough, I'd leave. I got Mom one time, and I took her and, you know, got her in a storm pit. I'd just go borrow somebody's storm pit. I wouldn't ask them. I'd pull up. If it was empty, we'd get out and get in. That's just the way it was, you know. But I got born again and all of that, and then I began to realize through the scriptures, you know, that fear, that God told them all through the Bible, He said, fear not. I mean, He told them, fear not. And then the scripture, it says, for God has not given us a spirit to fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And God began to deal with me way back there. He said, son, he said, you're not jealous of your wife. He said, you're fearful. See, fear, jealousy is fear-based, you know, and all of that. And he said, you're not afraid of the storms. He said, you're afraid of what they will do to you. He said, the storm don't really bother you. He said, but what he said, and he began to show me that I could live a fear-free life. And, you know, God wants us to be fear-free. I mean, not afraid of anything. And I'm not talking about a prideful, arrogant thing. I'm talking about a peace. I'm talking about the freedom. The Bible says, stand therewith in the freedom where Christ Jesus has made us free. And don't be yoked again with the yoke of bondage, you know. And so I took the scriptures, and we'll read it here in just a little bit. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 over there, and he had got born again and all of that, and he'd done been Ananias and prayed for him, and he received his sight and all that, and he made this statement. He said, the Holy Spirit bearing witness that everywhere I go that I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be in bonds. And he said, but none of these things move me. And I read that 28, 29 years ago, or heard it, or whatever the case might be. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you where nothing moves you. He said, and then they scripture for everything in the Bible that you fear. If you feel fear of being rejected, you've been accepted. Right? You've been accepted in the beloved. So you take that and you begin to meditate on that. So you got to renew your mind to the Word of God. Faith comes, freedom comes from the Word. It comes from the Word of God. So even today, you know, I mean, I had to start working on that. I saw in the Bible where a storm rose and Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of that boat. And He had been teaching them all about faith. And then they got fearful. Why? They got to looking at the storm, listening to the reports or whatever the case may be. And they got fearful, but the storm was real. You know, and the Lord's, when they woke Jesus up and they said, "Lord, do you not care that we perish?" Jesus got up, walked out there in the storm, and spoke to the storm. And the storm stopped. And then he turned around to the disciples, and then he said, "Why are you fearful? Why have you not got faith?" And the Lord spoke to me through that, and he said, "I don't want you scared." He said, Jesus spoke to the storm. He said, Jesus was at rest. Jesus knew the storm was there. He was in the same boat. And I thought to myself, but that was Jesus. And then later on, I read the scriptures where it said that Jesus stripped himself of all the majestic power and became a man. And then he walked these trials out just like me and you are to do. He walked them out as a man of faith. He walked them out as a man knowing the Word of God. He even quoted the Word of God to Satan. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." He even quoted Psalms in there. And so the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, He said, "You are driven by fear." He said, "And if you allow fear in that area, it's going to mess with you in other areas." And so I thought, man, Lord, help me come to the place, and I'm believing if you get nothing else out of the sermon today, which you'll get all that God wants you to get, that we are living in a time where we make up our mind that nothing is going to move me from the will of God, from the path of God. I got a call yesterday from Brother John out of Dallas, and we'll get him on down here, and he'll come be preaching, ministering for us. And he goes to India, and you know, we help build some stuff in India, and we give to that and the other pastor in India. But they got him, and they persecuted him or interrogated him for three hours. You know, and they give him three choices: you're going to prison, you're going to jail, you can be killed for it. And it was for preaching the gospel, preaching like he comes here and preaches. He wouldn't harm a fly, you know. And so, but anyways, during the interrogation, you know, they know where he lives, they know what his kids does, where they are, all of that. He didn't tell them none of that. They know, you know, and they threatened him. They actually threatened the life of Porta Chad over there. I'm bringing this up for a reason. Because I put myself in that state, and I thought, if I was in India, and they come, and I'm a Christian, and I pray to Jesus, you know, and they tell me, "You are going to prison. You are going to," would I denounce him? You know, and I thought, but I'm not over there. But will I fight for the will of God here? Well, I believe God against all odds, whatever. I believe to know the will. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm not talking about pastoring. I'm talking about am I willing to yield? See, fear is not your friend. Well, we need to use common sense. As long as it's common sense, but fear, you can't get them mixed up. You don't get them mixed up. When fear is trying to drive you to do something, that's not God. You're to stand still. You're to rebuke it. You're to come against it. Whatever you need to do, just like Jesus did. You know, and I thought about it. I thought, how would I feel today as a Christian if I was over there and every time I wanted to pray, I was persecuted? I could go to jail. My wife could be locked up. And I thought, what kind of fighting spirit have they got over there? And I know which one it is. They willing to go to jail for Jesus. They're willing. They're with. They go over there. They went, and one guy, they went in, pulled the family out, and destroyed their house because they're Christians. And I praise God we're over here in America. I praise God we're over here, you know. And if Satan had his way, and just like Sandy said, I've got a little bit of that in my message, you know, but I thought, I'm going to fight to be a pastor. I'm going to stand, even if it sends me to jail. I have been banned off of YouTube, and back in the last 4 or 5 years, they shut my YouTube down because I was teaching the body of Christ to stand in faith against COVID. I wasn't saying nothing about the government. But the government don't own me. The government don't own this church. I might be 501c through the government, but when it comes between fear and all of that, that 501c is gone in Jesus' name. Why? Because we're fearless. We're not arrogant, but we are rooted and grounded in love. We've been hearing 6 sermons on the love of God. You're like, well, I ain't heard none of them. You ain't been here. I'm sorry. You know, God said He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies, right? He said our cup runs over, right? He sets table. He said, and I mean, I'm not against, I mean, church is not the Savior. But I'm telling you over there that just like Parna Chad, he's asking me, and I'm praying. I was praying to see, you know, because they renting a basement in a house, and the law and government goes to where he's renting the house, and they tell him, we're going to kill your family if you let these people gather in your basement again. We're going to kill your family. It's not hearsay. We know these people. We fed that church family and for over 3 years during COVID. The government shut them down. They couldn't sell. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't leave their house. And we took it, this church took it on, and we fed them for almost 3 years. We took care of them. They're our brothers. He wants me to come to India, and I said, only if Jesus says. Right? I'm not afraid, because if he don't tell me to go, I'm over there without him. Not anointed for it. Not upon. But the Apostle Paul, here he is, and he goes, and he says all of these things to serve Jesus. And I'm telling you today, I'm not serving you. Notice, you know. We are Christians. We are taught of God. But he brings things to our attention. If we're motivated by fear, if I'm after money, if money is my goal and money is my God, you know, then he's going to confront me with those idols. He's going to confront me with those things. The gospel will confront the things that is in the way of the will of God in our life. It'll bring it to, I mean, I was so jealous. I locked Teresa in the house. Room or whatever, bathroom, I guess. I don't know what. Was it the bathroom? The only reason I did is because I wanted to keep her. I was afraid of losing her. That's stupid, ain't it? That's demonic. I get born again. I know her tire. I know everybody. Tire tracks in my whole family and anybody that comes to my house. Don't tell me about fear. Right. If somebody came, I knew who come because I knew what tires they had. Wranglers. She couldn't have no phone, no phone calls, no none of that. Now I'm 27 years old. You can tell she ain't lost not 1 pound in the last 30 years. I've been free 30 years, Johnny. I've been free 30 years. So what I'm telling you today, I mean, you know, what I'm telling you today, fear is your enemy. When you get rid of fear, you will get rid of that self-life. You'll start saying, "Bless God, if it costs me my job, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. But God, if it costs me, turn my phone off and I'm going to tithe. But God, I'm going to tithe because God's the only thing that can save me anyways. God's the only thing that can promote me anyways. God's the only one that can bring me into this free life anyway. And if God be for me, who can be against me?" See, I just went, and you know, you might work for the other man, or you might work for yourself. It really don't matter because we're going to be confronted with these things regardless of where we are because it's part of our growth becoming like Jesus. I just had two major jobs and all of that, and I mean, It was things started coming against it and this and that, you know, and I mean, if one day I had to cast down thoughts probably over 150 times in one day. And I finally told God, I said, "God, my job is not my source." And I told Satan, I said, "Satan, and if you mess with me, I will dump the jobs just to get you to shut up. Because God promotes me. God," and I told God, I said, "God, you are my source. I cast this over on you. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I do not fear." And you know what happened? Because I did that, because they doing that over in India, God shows up. God spares them. God brings provision. And I thought to myself, "God, if they feel defeated, God, do they feel defeated? How do they feel? How do they feel?" Well, he goes on and he's going back to India. So I asked him, I said, "Are there any way we can help you?" I said, we're going to help you. Like that. And he went on, he told me all about it. He said, "But I'm not afraid." He said, "I'm not afraid." And I thought, there's that warrior right there, Jesus Christ in him, the hope of glory. There it is. I'm going back to India. I don't know what will befall me over there. I don't really know. They know where my family is. They know about this and that. But they don't, you know, and I thought, "God, we've got to have that fight in America. We got to have that fight in America, God. He's just determined if they put me in prison, so be it." They killed one guy because he was kind of going, and he believes they did, put him under a motorcycle like it was an accident. I'm telling you what he says. He'll probably tell you about it. But you know what? I've had these people in my younger years come through out of these foreign countries that were really persecuted. I mean, somebody talks about you on Facebook and you get oppressed for 3 weeks. That's not persecution. That's people being whatever they are. Right? You know, I mean, they accused me of being a killer because I'm having church with COVID. Same spirit. Same spirit of Antichrist spirit. You know? And so I made up my mind, I'm going to fight for my right to be a pastor. I'm in the Bible. I'm in Ephesians. I'm in there. I'm part of that. I'm part of that. If I lay my life down, I'll find it. If I lose my life for His sake, I'll find it. And I find, bless God, I'm coming to church every time the doors open. I find that they ain't nothing can stop me in Jesus' name. I'm not bragging on myself. It's just that I have made and practices and put it into motion for years and years and years. Praise God, put the kingdom first. And I'm telling you everything. I mean, deliverance comes to me. Power comes, strength, peace. That's what they got. That's what these believers, that's what the Apostle Paul had. That's why the Apostle Paul, he said, "The more that I love you, the less that you seem to love me. But I will be spent gladly for you." There's power in what I just said, what he said. Why? because they beat him and drug him out of the, couldn't kill the dude. Snake, viper bit him, slung it off. Hallelujah. I mean, he's casting out demons. He's doing all kinds of mighty works in this faith walk that's not outside of it. Give me that Hebrews 10, please. Beth, I think. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. Now, you know what? I had to start coming against fear. You got to stand against fear. Fear builds strongholds. See, your thoughts are where patterns are established. Your mind is where patterns are established. In the Word of God, that's why the Bible says, for us be not conformed to this world, to this age, to this way of thinking and being, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Set different mind patterns for our life. I don't fear anything now. I was just challenged with that the first time that I've experienced being fearful over these two major jobs. And I had to come to the point to where I will drop them like a cold biscuit in my heart, praise God, and turn my faith to Jesus. And when I did that, things worked out just Friday. I didn't lose nothing, Johnny. But God, I didn't lose. They was trying to get me to give them answers I couldn't, and I was challenged to whether I was going to lie to them to get by myself a little more. Don't lie to yourself. I told them exactly the way it is. How many knows the Bible says, you shall know the truth, but fear will not let you speak the truth. But the Bible says that we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And so all of that turned around Friday. I'm not just telling you my story. You face your own stuff. You face challenges of being a Christian. You face challenges in your marriage. It's not about them telling a story. A guy told me one time, he said, you know, you tell too many stories. We need more preaching of the gospel. I said, no. I said, we ain't got nothing if we ain't got some testimonies. We ain't got no gospel working. I said, the only thing I can do is tell of the goodness that God is doing in my life, and that is preaching the gospel. The Lord told me one time, He said, son, He said, your faithfulness to church, He said, is a witness to your neighbors. He said, your neighbors knows you're a Christian. He said, and you going to church, He said, you going to church and fighting and being faithful, He said, is being a witness for Jesus. He said, it's being a witness that Jesus Christ lives in your life. And then he told me, clean your house, clean your yard up. And I thought, nah, man, I'm going to have to spend some money to clean the yard up. I'm thinking, it ain't none of nobody's business. I own this place and blah, 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 blah. Well, when the Lord began to deal with me, it took me a while. I put all I could in the can, the dumpster. How many knows the Bible says, walk out the salvation that's came in you. Put it in the garbage can every week. If it takes you a year, just keep walking and put it in the garbage can every week. Before you know it, I mean, we had people stopping and coming down the road wanting to get some of our beautiful plants. I went over to the neighbors over there, and he said, how in the world? He said, you've got a yard like a golf course. How do you do it? How is it so beautiful? I'm next door to them. And I thought, well, the Lord told me, he said, see, he said, you feel better because you're cleaned this up. He said, that's the way you are on the inside. You've been cleansed. He said, and your outside is reflecting your inside. He said that, and people are seeing the outside because you're living from the inside. went over here yesterday and got some fuel, and I started in, and these two young teenagers out here, and they fixing to get fuel, and one's going in to pay, and he goes ahead of me, and I'm a pretty good piece off. And he lets the door shut, and he looks back, and he sees me, and then he come to open the door. And I said, well, thank you there, son. He's a young teenager, a little bit about 17, 18 or whatever. I guess they headed the ball game. I don't know what they're doing. But he gets in there, and I go get me some water, a bottle of water. And I come back around there, and he's there trying to pay. And he said, well, I'm going to get $8.40 worth of gas, you know. I'm thinking, $8.40? I've never heard of that. What about $8? Seven, you know, $8.40. You know, so something happened, you know, and he paid for the $8. She said, I'm only giving you $8. I thought, well, that's rude too. But anyways, get up there and something happened. She said, hey, she looked at Rob. Rob was there. He said, hey, could you go tell them to hang that up? Tell him to hang that pump up. And so Rob goes there and he hollers at him, you know. And so I walked over there to the, and I said, hey, I said, you ain't turned him on yet, have you? No. I said, add him another $10. I said, she said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. Can you make that happen? Or I want to pay $10. Oh, yeah. I said, okay. She said, well, that's awful generous in you. I said, yeah. Well, I walk out there I could have thought, where the little snotty-nosed brat's going? You know, two teenagers in the front, they're up to no good. Now, I'm just saying, I can think this stuff. They don't deserve my money. I worked hard, and I've been having to fight fear for 3 weeks to get this money. But how many knows the Bible says, labor with your hands that you will have to give to them in need. And so I thought, you know what, maybe they're going to the ball game. Maybe that's all the money. Maybe they ain't got no hot dog money or nothing, you know, man. I don't know. So I go out there, and I thought, well, he's liable to stop it at $7.40 or whatever it was, $8. And so I go out there, and I tell him, hey, son. I said, hey, yeah. Now, I don't look like I've got nothing. My hair's sticking out. I've been dirty and sweaty, and I mean, I've been doing a lot of stuff. I've been shopping all day with Trish. She kept me out till 2 o'clock. And now I got to go spray around the church and got to go spray around my fits and different things, you know. And so my hair's out. I knew I needed a haircut. Well, anyways, I said, hey, son. I said, you know, I paid a little more, so it's going to be $18. Pump you $18. He said, what? And I told him again. And this other guy, the young one in the car, oh, no, we can't. He pulls his wallet out. He said, no, we can't let you do that. We didn't ask you to do that. I said, no, you didn't. I said, but one of the reasons why I did that is because this young man, your buddy right here, didn't have to open the door for me. I said, that was real courteous in him, and I'm going to reward him for that. And then he's looking at me, and I said, you're the one. I said, you did that. I said, that was very kind of you to open that door back up and let me in like that. And I looked at him, I looked at it, and I said, you're not looking at a broke man. I said, I know I don't look like I got nothing right now. I said, but I do got something. I said, but his name is Jesus. I said, and now I'm preaching to him. And I told him, I said, put your money back up. I said, because Jesus is going to take care of me. Jesus is going to, and you know, I thought about it while Teresa was teaching, prefer others before yourself. And you know, and I told him, I said, wherever y'all boys are going, y'all just have a good day. Just have a good time. Well, sir, we sure do think, blah, 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 you know. And went off, and I thought, you know what? Everything the enemy comes with us again. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good. I didn't do it to get no money. I did it rewarding him and letting him know that Jesus was well pleased with him for just being courteous, just opening the door. And some of us full-grown Christians won't do it. We go over there and they pulling in at the gas pumps, and you're going to get that one, and you just about get out and cuss them out. I started to get one Christian on Facebook yesterday. You know, somebody messing with the grandkids, and he said the big F-bomb on there. You know, he's a Christian and all of that. Says he is. I can't tell it. I mean, you know, well, I mean, don't attack me, blah, 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 and put the big F-bomb out there, you know. And I thought to myself, I thought, man, that is a weak Christian. I thought, man, I don't know if I'd go to that church or not. That's weak, you know. And I thought about it. I thought, Lord, help me not to be a coward. Help me not to be a coward when I'm preaching to the congregation, God. Help me just to be me. Help me just to reflect how I feel about you. You know, how you did me in my life. You know, how you brought me from suicide. You brought my marriage back together. I'm not one bit jealous. I even told Satan, I said, Satan, why don't you send some little fine cracker with a convertible, long hair, whatever, and take her. Because he would call me up and he would pay me to take her back. Well, that's my way of combating that fear. However your way is, use it. If it sounds stupid to people, let it sound stupid, but you be free. You just walk free. And so now she's got her own bank account, her own money, her own, phone. And she goes when she wants to go. Travis, he'll say, where's mom? And I'll say, I don't know. She didn't tell me nothing. Used to, she wouldn't leave without telling me something. Or it's going to be just going downhill. But see, that's what the scripture says. It says, whom the Son sets free is free. I'm afraid of losing my job. I chose Jesus over my job. I mean, I got to be honest, right? If it comes down to it, are you going to choose? What you going to choose? If it does come and confront you, are you prepared for him? When it comes down, Teresa, she told me, she said, I want a divorce. And she gets her little packs, her little bag, you know, and she walks out of the house. It's been years ago. Walks out of the house. Travis, he's still at home. He looked at me and he said, Dad, are you going after her? I said, I'm not afraid, son. No, I'm not going after her. She'll be back. Well, about 3 hours later, she comes back. I couldn't find a motel. My back's hurting. And I thought, glory to God, there's my stand right there. I took a stand of faith. You ain't going to get me in fear. You can't get my wife. She will be back. I'm not begging her. I'm not going to try to stop her. I'm not going to control. See, love won't control somebody else. Love won't do it. Love will give. Love will. Teresa just preached it to us. Love is not self-seeking, self-centered, self-will. And when I came out of all that, it put me in a place of power. It put me in a place of I mean, you know, I tell Satan a lot. I say, ooh, I'm a good-looking guy. Now, people will want to differ with me. Well, you don't look that good to me. Nobody asked you. I asked the Lord. He likes it. He likes me. He said, I'm highly favored. He said, I'm a major blessing. He said, I'm blessed. Going in, blessed. I'm made and created in his image. My nose might have been, it ain't crooked now. I had nose surgery. Not for that. They wanted to open it up. But my, one of my ears are lower than y'all ain't noticed it. I keep hair over it. Aiden was combing my hair a couple of Tuesdays ago, and he stood up on the couch and he combing hair. He said, Papa. I said, what is it? He said, Papa, you're missing some hair back there in places. And I said, well, don't tell me. I can't see it, and I didn't know it. You must be getting a little weak up there. Well, you know what? I could go, oh, Jesus, I'm losing my hair. I look bad. I'll just shave it off like y'all. We'll all look the same if it goes to bother me too bad. If it goes to bothering my conscience and bothering my faith and my character, we'll shave it off. I would. I would just shave it off if it goes to making me feel less than what God says I am. If that thing bothers me to that point, I'm shaving it off. I used to wear muscle shirts. They call them white beaters now. So, muscle shirts, you know. But I wanted my chest hairs hanging out. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, look at these muscles. I'm little and I got them, you know. And all of that, and I get born again, you know, and the Lord, he said, stop wearing those. I thought, that devil, I bind that devil in the name of, I'm cool. You know, I'm just cool, and it's cooler, you know. And I had a big beard, and I thought, this makes you look rough. Well, like you, man, you look rough. I don't want to meet you in that alley, that beard. I know, it looks good. I'm good. Well, anyhow, you know, I'm like, oh, man. And so then I knew it was the Lord then. Whatever the Lord wants, Jesus said, Mary said, whatever the Lord says, do what? Just do it. You know, and so I'm thinking, man, this can't be God. What does God cure if I wear a muscle shirt? Anyhow, I quit wearing them. I just quit wearing them. Well, you know, I felt good because I felt like I'm in obedience to the Lord. See, it's all it was about. I mean, I felt good. I thought, man, those shirts ain't worth what I got. I feel good on the inside. Well, and that had to do with pride in my heart and different things that God was asking me to shun, to get rid of. Why? Because He wants me free. He wants me free to be me. He wants you free to be you. He wants you free serving Him and worshiping Him. He wants us to be real. He just wants us to be real with Him, and not that we're perfect. I'm telling you right now, if you went home with me, you would think, oh, I don't know if I can go back and listen to Him or not. Because I'm just like you. I mean, I'm working. I'm a work in progress, man. I mean, I'm trying my best to serve Jesus every day, and you know, and I'm allowing Him to move in different things, you know. Well, you know what? I think all y'all husbands ought to buy your wife the best car. I work and all that. Who is that about? You, right? Travis, he gonna buy him a big Silverado one time, and oh, he's all about him when they get married. He did, and we go, oh, he get her a car, but the back windshield's busted out, and you know, and I help, and it won't run good, and all that. And so he gets some money or something. I said, what you ought to do is go buy your wife a nice car. Well, Silverado. I said, no, get a, well, she looks like the IRS coming to see you now. She's driving more expensive than he is, you know. You know what that was? That was preferring his wife before him. But after that, I mean, he's got a very nice Silverado now. I thought about it this morning. I thought, man, maybe he'll get tired of it and I'll just pay him back for it. It's right up my alley, man. I mean, it's a 2500, you know, and all of that good stuff, you know. And I thought maybe he got it for me and he just wants his money back sooner or later. Well, if it was a piece of junk, I wouldn't give you a dime for it. But see, what I'm saying is, you know, the enemy, fear will not let you move on in God. You can't fear, be jealous of your wife or your husband. Or don't be jealous of people's stuff. I mean, I could be jealous of Johnny. I'm like, dude, look at this. Man, he has to go move 5 vehicles to mow the yard up there, man. You see it lined up, you think a reunion's happening up there. He's got cars lined up, then you see Johnny mowing the yard. Then you go over to his other house. I've been by there one time, and it's full. I mean, the yards are just full. You know, and I'm like, man, see, well, I'm like, that's the blessing. The blessing of the Lord, hallelujah. Is making Johnny rich. You rich. The very guy where I got these big jobs told me back under, I guess, 20 years ago or better, he said, look, man, he said, just come down on your doors a little bit. He said, I can make you rich. And I done read in there where he said, ain't no man gonna say that they made me rich but God. And so I didn't say it to him, But I went and I said, well, I'm not coming down. I got in my truck and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's nobody. I said, and you mark it today, Satan. You don't control me with money. I am not for sale. You're not going to control me and say he can make me. Well, fear was saying, oh, man, just come down a little bit. He can make you rich. Well, you know what? Praise God. I told the Lord, I said, no man in my latter years, God, this has been 25 years ago. I said, no man is going to be able to say they made Scotty wealthy, but you, God. I said, and I'm not going to choose money over you, God, because money is not where the empowerment's at. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, it is he, God, that gives you the power to get wealth, that he can establish his covenant with you. Now, that don't mean you don't go to work and work with your own hands. And the Bible says he will bless everything that we set our hands to do. That's trusting in God. That's relying on God. But when things come and they challenge us, look, all God requires of me and you is whatever we know the will of God is in our heart. Whatever we believe is God's will, that's what he requires us to go after. Just do it. You know, if it's walk in love, come out of jealousy. Jealousy is fear. It's fear-based. That's all it is. Yeah, we went through a challenge one time, me and Teresa, and I thought, you know what? If we get a divorce, pray God, I'll never get a divorce. My mind's made up. And I thought, but if something like that ever happened, I'm going to go and I'm going to sign everything that we have, everything, over to her. I'm giving her everything. Somebody say everything. Be willing. But because if I seek to save my life, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose it. But if I will, for his sake, lose my way, my thoughts, my work for it, she ain't never had a job, I'm talking about long term, that's kept us afloat. So my thinking should be, according to the world, you know, I worked and got all this. I accumulated. I put in all them hours. I mopped them floors. I run those wires. I buy. She don't deserve nothing. Now I'm losing. I'm already losing. And so I'm willing to give it all. Just give it all. What would love do? Give. And it shall be given. Because I told God, I said, it's never going to happen, God, but I'm just letting you know, God, that you brought me this far, and I can start with nothing and come this far again with you and your blessing. So the enemy, like Sandy says, he is putting pressure on the body of Christ. He's doing it through the media. He's doing it through the tariffs. I don't care. I think it is fair that if somebody charges me 20 and me charge them 20 for the work that I do, I think that's pretty doggone fair, don't you? I don't think it'd be like, well, you know, you don't charge me more, but we're going to charge you more. I think that's devilish. Yeah. I really believe it is. But then you got the devil out there, boy, I'm telling you, this is just bad. The stock market's down. So what? I got money in the stock market. I will lose a little for a better future. Yeah. But I don't lose. I don't believe in losing. I believe that the blessing's on my giving. I believe it's on my investments. I believe it's on my life. I'm telling you, it's about money. They sent it and they reevaluated my properties, okay? They went up $30,000 or $40,000 on one property, taxes. And then they went up $15,000, $30,000, whatever they went up on my, and I thought, just, you know what, Satan? God works all things together for my good. If this is you just wanting to tax more people, then God said he'll work it to my good. That makes me worth a lot more. That makes you worth a lot more. People are worried about their 401k. They're worried. I understand. But Christians should be in faith, believing God that I don't lose nothing. No man has put God first. The Bible says, put him before mother, father, lands, and all of this, and lost anything. But he shall gain 100-fold in this life. He didn't say go to heaven. He said he'll gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life and go to heaven. See, just because you don't understand maybe how to get where I'm talking about in life and all of that, just do whatever he's telling you to do. There ain't nobody got a five-page plan to get in the will of God and stay in the will of God. It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk, just like Wednesdays. I usually don't do anything on Wednesday on Wednesdays. You know why? Everybody can't do that. I mean, God put me in my own business and I can a certain thing. I go get the food on Wednesdays. I don't want to come in here dead tired and ain't had time to rest and seek the Lord and don't have anything to bring to the church. I just don't want to have it. That's why in general, be prayed up when you come to church. Bring something to the church. Bring something into the church. Bring a good attitude into the church. Bring some faith into the church. Come and expecting God to minister to you, but to minister through you if he wants to. You know, to be not just to get blessed, but to be blessed, be a blessing. The Lord told me one time, He said, when you don't go to church, He said, people get discouraged just because you don't show up. Max sitting over here, where's the so-and-so? Something up with him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's how come God told me that right there, that bothering him. It's bothering him. You know, that's just bothering him. And I told him, I said, look, man, it's okay. You know, they've been doing it to me for years. I'm here. I'm good. You know, well, what's he got to do? Get stronger. He's got to get stronger and all of that and work out that, you know, and he will. He'll get stronger, hallelujah. When you fight and you go forward to do the will of God, you get stronger and stronger and stronger inwardly. Your inner man is strengthened. You get strengthened in your inner man. So I want to encourage you, don't let nothing move you. Be like the Apostle Paul. If you want to go look at that, it's in Acts 20, 22 through 24. But he talks about the buns and all of that stuff. But I believe we're going to even have greater trials in the years to come, but we're going to be stronger. We're going to be ready. The Bible says he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies and our cup runs over. And you know, I thought about this morning. I took Psalms chapter 23 when I realized that it wasn't just for funerals. You know, and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he goes on to tell you his rod and his staff and the company. And the Lord told me, He said, you can't get stuck in your trials. He said, though you walk through these valleys, you walk through marital trouble, you walk through financial trouble, you walk through relationship trouble, you walk through it. He said, don't camp out in anything. He said, always be moving forward, expecting me. He said, and I'll bring you through. He said, I'll bring you through. And he always does, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for